This is our Advent Sunday to celebrate the Prince of Peace. And as we come to Christmas time, every week we talk about an Advent, and that helps us stay focused on the real reason for Christmas. And so this morning, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that your word says in Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And Father, that is what you brought to the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for that peace that passes understanding today to fill our hearts and minds as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So yesterday was December 7th, and I don't know if you were aware of what happened on December 7th in 1941, but let me share with you. You know, it started out just another routine day, and it was a beautiful weekend, I'm told, and the aircraft carriers were at the dockside, and the crews were enjoying the day with just some rest and relaxation, and the sky was very clear, and the sun was shining, and the weather was just beautiful. And so this was a perfect picture of peace. But something happened that brought disaster into the lives of many people. And within a couple hours, over 3,077 men would be killed or missing in action. And the United States of America would lose 8 huge battleships, 6 major airfields, and would be destroyed along with most of the aircraft. So at 7 a.m. on that day, it was a Sunday morning, there were 360 Japanese war pilots 130 miles or about 50 minutes away from Pearl Harbor. And these planes were picked up on the radar by 2 U.S. soldiers at a small radar station in the Pacific Ocean. And at first, the 2 soldiers, you know, just saw a few dots on the radar screen. And then the entire screen was filled with dots. And the soldiers notified their youthful lieutenant, that supervisor, because there were no other officers close by. And the young lieutenant responded with these words, "Don't worry about it, because these are probably planes from the California base." And because he said, didn't recognize the danger that was coming, his decision brought destruction into the United States, and we entered into World War II. And so that was 83 years have gone by, and World War II has ended, and yet there's still no peace in the world. The peace that Isaiah prophet prophesied about in Isaiah, the peace that the Messiah offers, you know, is not humanly possible. It says this, mankind, never known peace. Our municipalities have laws against disturbing the peace. No peace treaty that man has ever devised has been kept. In man there is no peace, and here is why. It's because man has never been at peace with God. And if there is not peace with God, then there can be no peace in the soul. So Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace. And we're going to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 9, which I was prophesied hundreds of years before the coming of the Lord. And so here it is, if you want to read it with me. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." So this coming child is called our Wonderful Counselor. And which means he's amazing. He's awesome. He's astonishing. He's an advisor. He's an advocate. He's a Wonderful Counselor. And he's our Mighty God. He brought salvation into the world. He gives us strength and security, and we can depend upon him. And he's our everlasting Father. He has a permanent and paternal relationship with us. And he's our Prince of Peace. And his government and peace will increase, and it is eternal. Thank you, Lord. And the Prince of Peace is more than just a title. It's Jesus' actual name. And the revelation of who he is. A prince represents a ruler. It designates that the child that is to come is the prince or the ruler of peace. And this whole passage conveys the fact that the Messiah would be a victorious ruler. He brings us peace. And how many of you have ever heard the word shalom? Shalom is also translated as peace, and it actually means safety, prosperity, success, and well-being. And listen, it's used over 236 times in the Bible. And in the book of Isaiah alone, it is there 24 times. But I just want to read a few of the passages to you. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord blesses his people with peace." The Lord blesses us with safety, prosperity, success, and well-being. Isaiah 55:12, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace." You'll be led forth in safety, prosperity, success, and well-being. Luke 2:14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is what was announced by the angels when Jesus Christ was born. There was a message that our Heavenly Father was sending us about the peace that we could have through Jesus Christ. Let's read once again about his government. We read about it in the Old Testament. Now let's look at it in the New Testament. In Luke 1:31-33, it says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So the good news is that God is going to establish his righteous government through Jesus Christ. You know, we see the government of the world, but there is another ruling government, which is the kingdom of God. Matthew 3:1-12 says God's kingdom is coming. He says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What is this about the kingdom? You know, they lived in another kingdom. You know, and if you went against the Romans, you were in a big trouble going against their kingdom government. But there was another kingdom that Jesus Christ had come to establish here in the earth. It's not a natural kingdom. It's a supernatural kingdom. And we see the kingdom by our spiritual eyes. We understand it by our spirit, by the spirit of the Lord God Almighty that is on the inside of us. When we're born again by the spirit of God. And God the Father is our Father. We become his child. We're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we're brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. What an amazing transformation takes place in people. And it's for everyone. It's for everyone. That's what we're the messengers of that. We have good news that the kingdom of God has come. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 4:17. Yes, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. We thank you for the kingdom. We get excited about what God has done for us around here. Amen. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. Matthew 4:17. It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this was Jesus. He began to preach and declare this publicly. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then Matthew 4:23-24, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. That was the demonstration of the kingdom of God. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It's a different kind of government. It's a different kind of kingdom. There isn't sickness and disease in the kingdom of God. There's life, and life more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. So the good news of the kingdom is that God is going to establish his government through Jesus Christ. This was the message that was being heralded. This is what was being shared. You know, back in Isaiah, when that was prophesied about unto us a child is born, there was so much going on in the culture. And the Assyrians were actually capturing the Jews, and they were taking droves of them into captivity. And it was a horrible time for them. And Isaiah was giving them some hope, saying, hey, the king is coming. Your Messiah is coming. Your Savior is coming. And you know, we live in the same kind of world today. It's an evil world. There's so much darkness. The scripture says gross darkness will cover the earth. We see gross darkness everywhere around us. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to establish his kingdom, which is the kingdom of light. And when the light comes, the darkness has to flee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The good news is the gospel of the kingdom. It's the government of God. God is ruling. God has rules. He has laws. He has legislation. And we learn how to function within the kingdom as a citizen of the kingdom of God. We are citizens of another place. We are not citizens. Well, we're here in this world. Hallelujah. But our citizenship is in another place. Does that make sense? You know, when we were born into the kingdom of God and translated out, we got some new citizenship cards. You know, we got some new ID, a new identity. Hallelujah. It's a new identity that we receive from the Lord God Almighty. Let's go on here. My friend, Prophetess Ina Carr, she said that she was praying regarding the sale of our building. And she said, when praying this morning, I also prayed for God's government to come over the selling of your building. Any obstacles, delays, or plans of the enemy to be brought down and bound, his perfect plans and timing and provision and purposes to be loosed in Jesus' name. You see, we can establish the kingdom of God in our situation. We begin to decree it and to declare it and ask the Lord. It says, you have not because you ask not. You know, sometimes we just sit back and just keep taking the beating. We can't just keep taking the beating. We need to use the word of God and use it so that his plans and purposes come to place, to pass in our lives here in the earth. It is time, church, to demonstrate the kingdom of God and to believe all that he's written. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 24:14 says, tells us this. Went a little too far here. Hold on. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, people keep looking for the end of the world because things are so bad. And they keep thinking that surely this world's going to end. You know, Jesus is coming any day because it's so bad. But that is not what brings the coming kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom being preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And so we believe and we pray for the revival of the message of the kingdom of God to go across this world. to go to every nation, to every people group. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. And he's going to make sure that you hear the gospel of the kingdom. And if you're not sitting in church or there isn't somebody telling it to you, you know what? He appears supernaturally to people who doesn't have that privilege to come to church and sit in church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the church is growing across the world because of supernatural encounters with you, because we serve a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So he gives us a promise of peace. And in Isaiah 57, it says, I create the fruit of your lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up might and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. You know, those who refuse Jesus Christ and refuse the government of God are like the sea that cannot rest. You know, the sea is never totally calm. Have you ever sat and watched the sea? It's never totally calm. So we don't want to have to, we don't have to wait for this future to have this peace. If we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, this peace can come in our life right now. Romans 10, 8 through 9 says, how about reading it with me? This is one of our bishop's favorite scriptures, these passages here. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what ethnicity you are. We are all the same in God's eyes. We are one in his body. He created us different. He gave us different colors of skins. He gave us different personalities, because it would be really boring if all of us were exactly the same. Hallelujah. But God likes variety. But he doesn't treat any other person one better than the other, because when we come into the kingdom of God, we're all his children. We're all his children. And so thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God. Thank you for salvation, Lord, that you're willing to reach everyone. Lord, that you're not willing to leave one person behind, but your call keeps going out. You use God's people. You know, God sets us up to meet with people. They might have heard the gospel before and refused it, but this is the time that God is really knocking on our hearts. He's knocking on the hearts. He's knocking on that door. Have you ever heard about the door of your heart? Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. You know, you never know who he's going to connect you with, that he's been knocking on that door. And that one word, those few words, that smile, that kindness that you show somebody in the name of Jesus can change their lives for eternity. Takes them out of the kingdom of darkness and puts them into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Jesus. So we're looking for real peace. And real peace gives the idea of being fully alive, fully content. And specifically, it means these things. And we're going to go through these things, and then we're going to take a time to pray. It brings security. True peace brings security. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart. You're having trouble? God knows. Peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's total assurance and security in the midst of the conflict. So it's not the absence of it, but it's knowing where our peace comes from and who we can rest in. It's knowing that no matter what happens, God's still in control. That takes a lot of confidence in God, doesn't it? And it takes, sometimes you just want to control that situation, you know, to make sure the outcome is the way you want it to be. But you know, God will put us in situations where we have no control over it. Because God wants control. And so we relinquish our control to the Lord Jesus Christ for the security and the peace that we need. It also is rest. The scripture says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Lord. I was thinking about this and I thought, you know what? When I was a kid, I never laid in bed and worried about paying a bill or if I was going to have a job tomorrow or worried about a health diagnosis. Why? Because I totally depended upon my parents to take care of that. And you know what? That's the place that God wants us to be. Totally dependent on Him. He said, unless you become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So real peace means trusting Jesus to take care of all those details of life. Doesn't mean we're not doing anything. We're always looking and working. But Jesus takes care of the details. He's the one that can bring it to pass. And so we learn to give it to Him, cast the care on Him, because He cares for us. Number three is this peace is also reconciliation. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Derek Prince teaches this justified means just as if I had never sinned. When we come to Jesus Christ, you know what? All of that, the past is wiped away. It's gone when you ask for forgiveness. Now the devil will bring it up. Your own mind will bring it up. You know, it just comes floating in. But we've been justified through faith. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So perfect peace can only be found when we're reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father. There's no other way to get there. People are always looking for another way. You know, they talk about many paths lead to heaven. No, there's one way. Jesus is the door. We've got to go through the door to get to heaven, to get to the Father. Jesus is our door, and we thank God for it. It says in the Life Application Study Bible, this same passage says, there is no more hostility between us, no sin blocking our relationship with Him. Peace with God is possible only because Jesus paid the price for our sins through His death on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work of the cross. And you know what? We celebrate that every Sunday. We celebrate it understanding every Sunday because that's where our victory comes from. That's our life. Our life is in Jesus Christ. And number four, it's a gift. I love this passage in John 14:27. Jesus was saying this. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So you'll never find real peace, security, rest, reconciliation apart from the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace because He is the Prince and author of peace. And He brings perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." When you let your mind wander, oh my, does your mind ever wander? Everybody here is able to keep their mind from wandering. Oh boy, it will just take off. And then you know, it's sometimes you waste a lot of time doing that. Because did you solve anything? No. The Lord says, keep it steadfast on him. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He began this work in us. He's going to complete this work in us. And we are to keep our mind on him so we can keep moving forward. Because when you let all that other stuff come in, it pulls you back. And so we keep our eyes on the Lord. Perfect peace. Perfect peace is no anxiety, no fear, no doubt, no stress. You know, we can't even imagine that in our own natural minds. Can we? Because this peace we're talking about is supernatural. It isn't natural. It's supernatural. As children of God, we're naturally supernatural. We are. Amen. And God will keep us in perfect peace. And number five, God's peace. He brings peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7, another one of my favorite verses. "And the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It passes our understanding. It passes the logic. And it guards our hearts and our minds. Logical understanding can work against you and keep you from receiving the blessing and the promise and the miracle of God, because we're so busy trying to figure out how it's going to happen. You know, God wants us to find a place where we can rest in him and let him guard our heart and mind. He'll guard it if you ask him. If you ask him, and you got to work at that. You know, you might have to ask him more than once in a day. Anybody have to ask him more than once? All right. So this Jesus, whose birthday we celebrate in December and the world celebrates in December, he's our perpetual perfect peace. A peace that we will probably never totally comprehend this side of heaven. But it's a peace that we will never understand apart from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to earth to be our Prince, our ruler, and our King. And he didn't come by force, but he came in peace. He came in peace. I just want to close with a story, and it is about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and actually Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is an ancestor of Apostle Leonard. And this is his story. And Paul Harvey reported this story. Does anybody remember Paul Harvey? That really dates me, I know, but we used to like to listen to Paul Harvey because he just spoke the truth. He didn't like put a spin on everything that was going on. He just shared what was happening. And then he lets you decide, you know? But anyway, Paul Harvey tells the story of a father whose son had gone off to fight for the Union Army during the American Civil War. And after months of camp fever, his son finally saw battle and was seriously wounded. So news of his son's wound came to the father on Christmas Eve. And being a poet, he sat down and expressed his anguish in a song. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote these words as he contemplated the bleak Christmas morning. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Henry Wadsworth Longfellow didn't end his song in despair. When he heard the bells on Christmas Day, he looked beyond the conflict and stress of the moment and realized that real peace was possible, but only in the Prince of Peace. And his fourth verse goes like this. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So my questions this morning are, do you know that kind of peace? And do you know the Prince of Peace? Do you know real contentment and security and rest in spite of the trials of life? And can we say it as well with my soul? And this morning, I'm going to pray over the congregation, but I also want to open up the prayer. And those who are on the prayer team today, if you'd come on up. For those who are struggling today with the peace, with their peace, having the peace of God that passes understanding. If you want prayer for that, we would be glad to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you came, you sent your Son to be the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we desire that peace, and so we're going to ask today for peace. The peace that you talk about in your word, the peace that you promise in your Bible. We, oh God, desire that this morning. I pray for every troubled soul that's here. I pray, Lord, that you come into their life, that you release that supernatural peace, God, that passes understanding, into their heart, into their mind, in Jesus' name. So if you'd like prayer this morning, I'm going to encourage you to come on up. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Do you hear what your calling is from the Lord today? It's a call for peace. So if you like prayer this morning, come on up. We're just going to take a few minutes here before we continue. It's okay. Come on up to a prayer team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that are in the congregation, can you just pray in the Holy Spirit? Amen.